When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H-Time. Let's get the work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Happy Tuesday to all of you. Nice to be with you. Appreciate you getting up with us. We are with you till 10 a.m. this morning. My name is Sean Pendergast. His name is Seth Payne. Hello, Seth Payne.
Hey, Sean. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm reassessing and reevaluating everything about my existence as a Texans fan.
Okay.
And all of those things.
Okay.
Former member of the organization. Yeah.
Is this a good reevaluation or a bad reevaluation? Like, is this?
We'll find out now. Okay. We'll see. I might be in the middle of an existential meltdown. So we'll see. We'll find out by the end of the week whether I'm even working this job anymore.
Okay. Well, don't say
this
that.
Yeah. No. This is the...
I don't need to break in a new partner. No.
Yeah, that would suck. No.
Suck.
That would really, really suck. Yeah, it does feel like everything is at a point where nobody expected to be. Even if you didn't expect... Maybe if you thought the expectations of the Texans were way too ambitious this offseason, I started to get nervous about how much praise was being heaped on the Texans by the national media. Even the super smart film watchers and everything, a lot of them were just kind of whistling past the graveyard when it came to some of the concerns that we've seen bubble and boil up.
Yeah.
And right now, this is probably the largest I've heard, or the loudest I've heard the D'Amico Ryans criticism from the fan base.
Yeah, yeah.
People are starting to say, all right, D'Amico, what the heck is this now?
Well, and on the offensive side of the ball, I think we'll keep it over there, because I think the defensive side of the ball, it's an interesting dynamic, because D'Amico Ryans is also, in essence, the architect of the defense. I know Matt Burke is the defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
We love Matt Burke. But D'Amico's the one with the play sheet out there. It's his defense. And if we're going to look, even just look at Sunday night, like that is the best offense in football this year. They flummoxed them for a large portion of that game. You know, the Lions offense in that game was largely three big plays. You know, it was two big plays to LaPorta and then a big catch and run by Jahmyr Gibbs. And other than that, the Lions had to work for everything they got in that game. So, yeah, like, I feel like we've been saying, like, I feel like I said this earlier in the year specific to one game, but I'll say it again because I think this is where you're going, is that D'Amico Ryans, the defensive coordinator, has been very, very good this year. That this defense, I feel good about this defense, assuming full health. You know, this Kamari Lassiter concussion is the latest thing. Will Anderson's ankle is a thing. But when this defense is at full strength, I feel really good about it. The offensive side of the ball is a train wreck right now, you know,
yeah.
Compared to what expectations are. And I think, for me, that's interesting. Yeah, because, you know, the drumbeat about D'Amico Ryans, the head coach, I think it's a tough thing when you lean into positivity as much as he does, because there's a balancing act. And every coach has a different approach. And if D'Amico's approach is to be positive with guys and encourage and uplift them and put them in position to do things they do well and et cetera, that's all well and good. But there have been times with D'Amico Ryans where it feels like the positivity, like, borders into, I don't want to say delusion, that's a little extreme, but, like, for example, last year, it took an injury to get Damian Pierce removed from the first string running back position.
Right,
it took an injury to get Kenyon Green removed from left guard. Now people are going, what are we going to do about scoring touchdowns in the second half? You're right, Seth. This is, everybody's on Bobby Sloak. This is a D'Amico Ryans problem, this second half touchdown thing.
It's honestly, it's like the driving a 200 car that's got 250,000 miles on it that you love, and but, you know, you've got an emotional attachment to it, but at some point it's time to just swap it out for a new model.
Yeah.
And before you just, I feel like D'Amico is a guy that looks at Kenyon Green and thinks like, oh yeah, he's got it in him.
Yeah.
And then I think the bigger, larger, overarching question is, okay, what if Bobby Slowick's not the guy?
Yeah.
And how long is D'Amico going to stand by him and see if it's going to work out? And, hey, it's just a matter of him learning. And you're burning daylight while you're doing all that. The worst thing about it is, if you look at the NFL in general, the worst thing you can do is if you've got a bad quarterback and you stick it out with that quarterback year after year.
Yes.
While you're paying him Trevor Lawrence type of money.
Bingo.
That's a tough one. The Texans, I don't think even the people who are extremely down on the Texans right now, for the most part, still understand that C.J. Stroud is a really good quarterback. But, man, right now, he's not playing like it. And a lot of it at least started out as not his fault. But now as it starts to happen week after week, where he's just getting pressured more than just about everybody else in the league, that everything is just disjointed. All right. Are you gonna start to ingrain some bad habits in C.J. Stroud?
Yeah.
And is it because of D'Amico's undying faith and belief in various coaches or players that's going to end up doing it to him?
Yep. 5-Hour Energy fan line early in the show here. People are up with us. If you're up with us, check in on the 5-Hour Energy fan line. 5-Hour Energy, the official energy shot of Sports Radio 610 and football superfans. And the text is, at what point do we start to question C.J.? I think Seth just did, you know, I'll highlight the fact that CJ has not been the same guy over the last few weeks. I still think CJ's underperformance lately is way more a function of what's going on around him than it is himself, CJ. It's both, but I think it's more the environment.
Well, I think the thing is, too, CJ is not a guy like Caleb Williams is a guy that's going to hold on to the ball too long. That's been part of his, you know, that was one of the skepticisms about him in his scouting report.
Yep.
And he'll hold on to the ball forever and sometimes make the protection issues worse than they are. Whereas I don't think CJ is that guy. I think CJ is at a point right now where he's got to try to maneuver his way through a situation where he's got imperfect pass protection and make the right decisions on whether to, you know, make his reads low to high, like, hey, take the easy money, and but then sometimes you got to know when to take the deep shot. But he can't trust that he's going to have the time to ever really make that decision. And I wonder, you know, everybody, myself included, will say, hey, get CJ out of the pocket, get him moving a little bit. If the protections are an issue, then there you go. And yeah, that's great in theory, but teams can figure that out. So yeah, they got him out of the pocket, they got him rolling in on boots in that game in the first half to some success. But once defenses start to react and respond to that and see that, it's easy to take away some of the reads on boots.
Yeah.
It turns everything down to a half field. When I think about that missed throw to Tank Dell, I wonder how much of that factored into it where, all right, we're running a boot, I'm going to take the easy money, I'm going to do the right thing and be a professional quarterback. And it's just that little bit of hesitation on, oh, yeah, but there's my buddy Tank Dell.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it ended up being three steps that he took before he planted and threw where the old CJ would have let it launch.
Yep.
And I'm saying the old CJ, I'm talking about a second-year quarterback
right now. Right, it is. It's wild.
And it all starts with just a distrust in exactly how much protection he's seeing and what he's going to see downfield.
Yeah, man. It's like you go back. I went back and watched some of the cut-ups of the games because we'll talk about this in the next segment because the fact of the matter is, they have the exact same record right now that they did this time last year. They've been 6-4 both seasons, and the feeling is so different right now than it was last year. I have a few reasons as to why. I was doing some diagnosing yesterday, but watching the cut-ups of the three. Now, granted, it's three wins as opposed to the last few games, which have largely been losses, so it's going to look worse inherently. But the Tampa Bay game, obviously, where he just lit up the world. The Cincinnati game the following week where they won 30-27 where he was excellent in that game.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Arizona game, which actually he wasn't great. He threw three interceptions in Arizona territory in that game, but they won the game. And it is interesting, like just how much more decisive he looked in those games,
mm-hmm.
how much cleaner the offense looked too. I mean, it's, you know, again, things going on around him in that game. But I watched those games. I'm like, God, if they were getting this right now, just this, you know, just across those three games, they were an above average offensive team. They'd probably be 8-2 right now.
I think that The part of it, too, is, and I was thinking about this yesterday, was as much as it's easy to just crush Bobby Slowick right now, and I do deserve it. There's criticism that's fair, I think, and there's valid questions to have about Bobby Slowick and exactly what he is as a coordinator. But as we're whining and complaining, as we tend to do, about the fact that the Texans haven't scored a touchdown in the second half in four games, Bobby did scheme a wide-open Tank Dell. You know, that's a touchdown there.
That was CJ.
The Green Bay game, CJ, if he had trusted his protection, would have had a touchdown to John Metchie if he had gone across and gotten to his last read on that play where he did have protection at the end of the game. Instead, he threw it to Tank Dell. Like, these are CJ Stroud things, but that how much is Bobby Slowick and how much is the poor pass protection responsible for it? Impossible to put a percentage blame on any one of them. But all of it is adding up to a suboptimal CJ Stroud right now.
Wouldn't it be easier if you could just assign percentage blame? Like, if there was some mechanism out there. You know me. Yeah. I like everything quantified for myself, Seth. It'd be easy if we could just go, okay, good. Slowick is 63% to blame for this. This makes it easier.
And honestly, it'll be the least popular thing I do all year. Today, I plan on going back and kind of watching some of the red zone opportunities.
Yeah.
Because there have been, in the last several games, there have been opportunities for touchdown where the play call was okay. The players let Slowick down.
Yeah.
That run on 2nd and 12 at Green Bay. I mean, that entire sequence there on that final drive. All right, we want to crush Bobby Slowick for his strategy or what have you. On that 2nd and 12 run, if Titus Howard had made his block, if Titus Howard had simply slowed down the defensive lineman that tackled Joe Mixon, Joe Mixon had a really reasonable chance for a touchdown on there, because all he would have had to do is beat one defensive back at about the 3 or 4 yard line, which we've seen him do multiple times when he's just got to truck over one dude and he's got a nose for the end zone. So I can't 100% blame Bobby Slowick when it's the players who have let them down in the red zone as well.
Yeah. Titus messed up, huh? That's
Titus. Well, yeah. He looked like he has this year. He looked like a big hulking dude that can pass protect but can't move all that
well.
Dude,
I rewatched that play where he stripped CJ of the ball on Sunday night probably 50 times yesterday. I'm like, why am I doing this to myself?
It's one of those. It gets worse and worse the more you watch
it. Dude, it's worse. Andre Ware nailed it in the call of the play.
Yeah.
Like, him trying to take the ball and run with it from CJ is ridiculous. He stopped blocking. Like, he just stopped.
Right, he had just stopped on
he
there.
Just
well, no,
stopped.
Yeah, they all turn into spectators because he had run his guy around. He had run his guy around the pocket.
Yeah.
And in their minds, in these offensive linemen's mind, the Texans' offensive line, I feel like they're union foreman or something.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, nope, after 3 seconds, we get a coffee break.
Time and a half.
Nope. That's it. That's not an argument. You're going to we're going to have to take this up. You're going to need some concessions if you want me to block longer
it's
than
brutal.
3 seconds.
It's infuriating. It's so bad. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. I just mentioned it. The Texans are 6-4. Ross Tucker's going to join us top of the hour, so we'll talk to Ross at 7
Ross.
O'clock today. Yeah, it's Tuesday, baby. But the Texans are 6-4. They were 6-4 this time last year. Why are the vibes so different right now? I've actually got a few reasons. I dug into it yesterday. I think I've nailed it down to 5 things. All right, so we've got that coming up next.
This is important work. We're basically like cancer research.
Then I started in on curing cancer is what
I
was about to say.
We are just as important and vital to the community as MD Anderson.
To the Texans community we are. And so
we probably employ more people.
We're going to do that coming up next.